Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
We've seen really nearly 2 million people come to Christ in these very remote, unreached areas of the world. We've seen 8.6 thousand new churches planted. Our whole approach is based on making disciples who make disciples and planting churches who plant churches.
Today on the Waco Experience, an American story, a new resident to the Waco community, John Lamparis of Petros Network. He just shared a peek into the mission work of Petros. I met John when he came as a visitor to the Waco Networking Group. I learned it was Baylor University which brought John and his family to Central Texas from Oregon, where I grew up. As you just heard, Petros Network is involved in powerful mission work. We will hear there are a number of ways we can be involved with this nonprofit mission organization. I look forward to sharing this story with you. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. Each week, I bring you stories from leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations. You can learn more about this program, our sponsors, and the podcast version of this show by going to our website, thewacoexperience.com. This program is made possible by sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. Call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, pergola, or maybe you're ready to build that custom home. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. Biddy and Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and has a community room you can reserve and use at no cost. Waco's highest rated coffee shop, Biddy and Bo's, is at 110 Franklin in downtown Waco. Chord Buddy is the world's best way to learn guitar and ukulele. Christmas is the perfect time to give the gift of music. This Shark Tank winner and U.S.-made learning system is available on Amazon and their website, chordbuddy.com. Heart of Texas Indoor Billboards. My friend J.B. James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army and his team at Hot TV, amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. Quality Cabinets. Your home is an extension of your personality. Smooth, clean, and elegant. Quality Cabinets is the perfect choice for the modern aesthetic. Visit the Design Center at 720 New Dallas Highway in Waco. Quality Cabinets are available for delivery when you are ready. Call 254-744-0938 and visit the website qualitycabinetstx.com. D. Scott here. We're back at the Baylor Club, and I get to talk with John Lamparis today. John is with the Petros Network, and that's petrosnetwork.org. We're going to find out what that means in a moment here. The interesting thing is he has most recently come to Waco with his family from Oregon.
That's right.
That's where I was from. I was just a little over a year ago. That's where I was living. And then, as they say, was able to find my way to Waco.
All roads lead to Waco.
All right, John, let's get started with an overview. Let's talk about the Petros Network and what that is and your involvement.
Sure. So Petros Network is focused on equipping indigenous Christian leaders to share, show, and spread the good news of Jesus Christ among their own people, and to end both spiritual and physical poverty in regions that are currently completely unreached by the gospel. And this results in what we call redemptive lift, where all aspects of life, spiritual, economic, social, are redemptively uplifted by the influence of Jesus.
I like this mature philosophy of equipping the people in the community with the gospel. How do you do that?
There's certainly a place for cross-cultural missionaries. My grandparents were missionaries in India for 40 years, and they're not Indian. We find that it's more effective and a lot more efficient to, when you have a village that's entirely Muslim or entirely practicing traditional African religions, to accept the gospel is already huge enough of a lift, and then you add cultural, linguistic, and other barriers, that's a lot. So we found it's a lot more effective to work with in-country Christian leaders to say, okay, well, this particular tribal group, the Tuposa, who amongst you, amongst our partner denominations and church associations, has somebody within your own ranks who is of that same ethnic group, who speaks the language, both literally speaks the language, but also knows the different expressions, ways of dressing, ways of approaching people that are culturally appropriate, that might not be as well known to outsiders. So that they are ready to go and communicating the gospel amongst unreached villages.
So let's talk about the countries that you are working in.
We are currently active in the Horn of Africa, primarily in Ethiopia, Uganda, and South Sudan. Some of that spills into some of the neighboring nations. We've previously been involved in Myanmar and South Asia, and we have a number of invitations that we're prayerfully discerning to go into new countries. We frankly have more invitations than we have bandwidth to accept in terms of potential new places.
So PetrosNetwork.org, people can go there. Obviously, they can donate. Every nonprofit needs donations.
That's true.
But what else can people do to be involved? And what about people who maybe are feeling a call into this type of mission work?
We do invite people to go to our website, www.petrosnetwork.org, and they can click on Partner with Us. There's ways that individuals and churches can connect. They can give specifically for planting a church or to different humanitarian compassion projects. Go to petrosnetwork.org/connect to sign up for email updates, to hear good news about how God is moving and working really in Book of Acts kind of signs and wonders amongst unreached peoples today. We have regular trips where we bring people from the United States to come see for themselves the good work that God is doing. And sometimes people feel, oh, well, I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy, or I don't have any special skills or expertise. And sometimes people do have expertise or skills. I've seen everything from auto mechanics to dentists that we've been able to use those skills on trips. But really, people just need a willing heart. And it's a great chance to see God move in powerful ways, for people to grow in their own faith and to meet some of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are on the front lines of bringing the gospel where it's never gone before, and to get to be part of a story that continues long after you return home. So if you go to www.petrosnetwork.org under Partner with Us, one of the options there is talks about how you can apply to join us on one of our trips. We are not seeking to be the saviors of people in the majority world. There is one savior, and it's Jesus Christ. Really, the heroes that we see other than our Lord are these indigenous church planters that are really on the front lines, putting themselves and their families on the line every day for the gospel, because it's unacceptable to them that people are dying prematurely without ever hearing the good news of Jesus Christ.
I always love to hear success stories. You've been involved in the ministry for a while. Tell us, what are some of the things that stand out to you that you love to share?
There are no shortage of good intentions, but it's been exciting to me as someone, I've not been with Petros Network all that long. I've been with them for less than a year, but to see that God has really blessed this approach with some great results. We've seen really nearly 2 million people come to Christ in unreached areas, in areas where there were no evangelical believers, or often no believers, no Christians of even nominally of any sort, in these very remote, unreached areas of the world. We've seen 8,600 new churches planted, and we've tracked that on average, this is a individual mileage may vary, not a guarantee, but on average, for every church planter who's launched to plant a church, within just 3 years of our incubation period of on-the-job training, that church goes on to spawn 2.5 additional second-generation churches in other nearby villages. Our whole approach is based on making disciples who make disciples and planting churches who plant churches. And also because there are reasons why these places are still unreached. We're talking about some very remote places that are hard to get to, places that have been torn by civil conflict, places where people have experienced a lot of trauma, people where there's really extreme deprivation of basic life necessities. And so we cannot truly minister and share the love of Christ with people in such places if we're not also attentive to physical needs. And so within the last couple of years, we've had 1,200 church planters that have been trained in sustainable farming techniques that we also tell them to go share what you've learned with others in your community. So now we have over 18,000 farms that have been launched in areas that are now providing income and food for people where that was a real need.
I'm encouraged about the farming side of it. I was involved with a company, and we did some work in Suriname to begin with, which was the world's poorest country. We're helping them with sustainable farming. And then South Sudan became a country. Suriname bumped from the poorest to the second poorest country. And so you guys are in South Sudan. South Sudan, by the way, is about the same size as Texas. And as I recall, the number of paved roads in South Sudan might reach about halfway between Waco and Dallas. But the country is the same size as Texas. So infrastructure is really poor. So when you're talking about remote, give us some examples of what your teams might be involved with or people who are visiting. What's it going to be like?
Well, I think for those who come on trips with us who are not regularly part of our staff, who are saying, I just like to go on a Petros Network trip for a week or so, we're a bit more careful in where we send them because we want people to come back safely and want people to be safe, which means we have to be very careful for where we send them, that we make sure this is going to be a safe place. A lot of the places where we are active, where our church places are active, are in more dangerous places where there's often weather problems with flooding and other things, and also just some really intense persecution. We're not talking about people who are standing at the DFW airport with signs in English saying, will somebody please lead me to Christ? I mean, there's some real, often very violent hostility to the gospel, and places that are very remote, very out of the way, where there's not paved road or sometimes even any kind of a decent drivable road to get to. And so it's very difficult to go places that we might look on a map and think from our Western American perspective, oh, that's not too far away, you can get there. What's actually like you said, the infrastructure realities in these remote places is very different from what those of us in the States are used to.
The other thing we found out with the farming side of it was, and especially this was in Africa and South Sudan, the type of seeds that were being provided from the Western world were crops that the folks there didn't find enjoyable to eat. Being able to propagate the local crops was really important.
Yes.
And being able to do it sustainably, that is, with local resources, was really important.
Sustainability is one of our core missional values that I've seen in other contexts, a lot of good work done in missions where there is money coming every year to a particular project from the States, but the whole model is dependent on, well, we better hope the Americans keep giving next year and the next year and the next year and the next year indefinitely without a lot of thought to long-term sustainability or building internal capacity. And our whole goal is to want people we work with to graduate where they don't need us anymore. And then we're able to redeploy our resources to other villages where people need to know the light and love of Jesus. And it's not that people are abandoned and then they need somebody else to sponsor us, but it's that they don't need us sponsors anymore, that they are trained to be able to stand on their feet with crops that we find actually work in their context culturally with the soil and other things. And sometimes we run into things where people thought something would not be workable of, oh, we don't think this thing would work, but we've actually have our agricultural expert that we have on contracted staff has been able to guide people and show, oh, wait, this actually does work and have some very high yield results within relatively short amounts of time that have been very life-changing for a lot of people.
I want to get an idea of what it's like in the communities that Petros Network works in. I had a friend, he grew up in Nigeria, and he would go back and visit his village. And then he was telling me about his village. It was actually 100,000 people. So very different than what I would, when I'm thinking the word village. But when Petros Network goes out into these countries, what is it like? What is the community like?
There's not a quite one-size-fits-all kind of response. Africa is a huge place. Each one of the countries they work in are huge with internal diversities. But when we say village, we think of what we might have seen in movies where there's just one circular wooden wall and maybe a dozen huts and everybody is all in the same one or two families. And sometimes these villages can actually be quite large. We were talking many thousands of people, but they are still identified as a distinct village settlement. And they're not talking big cities like Addis Ababa, but these are more remote areas where we work. We were working in the context of a lot of extreme isolation and some practices where it's not just, okay, we should definitely be sensitive, and we are trying to be sensitive. We're not interested in making people into culturally American or Western. We respect other people's cultures, but there are some practices that are really dark in places where people don't know the light of Jesus, where women are passed around against their will and treated as sexual commodities, where girls are perfectly healthy and mutilated at young ages, where infanticide is not an uncommon practice. To come in, and part of redemptive lift is not just about the physical poverty, but about how does the gospel have ripple effects in all areas of life when we teach that God created marriage to be a union between one man and one woman who stay faithful to each other for life. When we teach that all people, men and women, even children, even people who are disabled, even people of different ethnic groups are preciously created in God's image, what does that do to how we treat and respect other people's bodies? And then we see this change, and then people start sticking to one wife, being faithful to her, not beating their children anymore, not engaging in female genitalia mutilation for their girls when they're young. And that creates ripple effects that are beautiful to see.
Today on the Waco Experience, an American story, we got John Longparis of Petros Network, and that's petrosnetwork.org. You can learn more there about what's going on. Let's get a history of the organization.
Once upon a time, there was a group of Ethiopian immigrants who were in the Denver community, and they had a heart for wanting to have a church, of an evangelical church of Ethiopian immigrants there, but also wanting to having a heart for taking the gospel back to their own people, back in their home country of Ethiopia. And they got connected to Dr. Ray Noah and his wife, Linda, who were at a church called at the time called Calvary Temple. And they were involved in several missions trips to be involved in equipping indigenous church planters in Ethiopia. And that evolved into what became Petros Network. Dr. Ray Noah was a senior pastor then at Portland Christian Center, a large Assemblies of God church in the Portland area, as the name suggests. It just kept growing to the point where there was more and more fruit seen and more things that God was blessing and more and more things that were happening with Petros Network, where Dr. Ray and Pastor Linda realized that they had to basically, to be fair to one or the other, they couldn't keep doing both the church and the mission. So they resigned from the church to focus full-time on the mission, which has continued to grow. And I should say that even though they're ordained as Assemblies of God, I'm Methodist. We're not particular to any denomination. We have what I call a balance of orthodoxy and ecumenism. We are very committed to the World Evangelical Alliance statement of faith, of the authority of Scripture, salvation through the cross of Christ, the Trinity, the virgin birth and physical resurrection of Christ. But within those boundaries, it's been beautiful to see there's been lots of unity with Petros Network of Anglicans, Baptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, Lutherans, non-denominationals, all working together in this common mission of reaching the unreached together.
That's a great story. John, you've been a part of Petros Network for around a year now?
Coming up on a year.
How did you get involved?
It was really a neat set of circumstances that I really can't explain other than God orchestrated it. I was at a missions conference called Mission Connection Northwest that they have every year in Portland area. And I was just there at a table. And I confess, I honestly hadn't heard of Petros Network at that point. And I struck up a conversation with a nice lady who worked there. And we were just talking about things about their mission. Oh, this sounds interesting. And then unbeknownst to me that they were going through some staff transitions and needed somebody. And one conversation led to another. And before I knew it, I found myself the new director of education and development for Petros Network.
And what's your background?
So I was on staff for the Global Methodist Church, is a more evangelical Methodist denomination. I have my Master's of Divinity from Harvard Divinity School. Shows how unusual I am that I graduated from there, and I think I was more theologically conservative when I graduated than I was when I went in. I'm personally committed to the Methodist tradition. I've worked in that world for a number of years, but this was the right time and the right opportunity. I'm still connected and ordained in the Global Methodist Church.
Were you called into the ministry as a young man? How did you make that decision?
That's a whole neat story, but it was something that a number of people, they discerned that call on me before I did. And there was some reluctance, some arguing with God, and some even, I dare say, fleecing God of saying, well, I had some excuses for why I didn't think this was a good time or why I didn't think I was right. And then I kind of watched God remove some barriers and open some doors and close others in ways that were really surprising and amazing. And it was kind of a bit of a story of, I don't think I was quite like Jonah, but I did eventually cry uncle.
You can count the number of weeks that you've lived here in Waco now.
Can, since August.
What brought you to Waco?
My wife is a professor. She's a theologian by training, and she was recruited to come here to Baylor to be a professor in their medical humanities program here. And the kind of work I do is the kind that, as long as I have a good internet connection and a place where I can have a desk, I can do it from pretty much anywhere. So we were able to move here in a family. I'm grateful that Petros Network was willing to be family friendly in that way and accommodate me in moving down here. And yeah, we're still settling into Texas, but really loving life here in Waco.
It's a good place. There's a lot of stuff going on. Let's talk about the future of Petros and how people can get involved, what things are coming up, what kind of trips might people be looking at, how do people get involved in supporting the mission?
Great question. Well, like any nonprofit ministry, we rely on the support of our friends and partners. So we do offer people an opportunity to make an eternal difference by helping bring the gospel to places where it's never gone before, by helping plant churches that have a great track record of planting other churches amongst unreached areas. So again, if you go to www.petrosnetwork.org, if you click on About and Our Approach, you can learn more about how we do what we do, why we do what we do, the results we've seen. If you go to www.petrosnetwork.org and click on Partner With Us, there are ways that you as an individual can be involved in planting wholly or partially planting a church, or you can have some friends that do it, or you can have your church do it. You can also invite Dr. Ray and Linda Noah to come and speak to your church. That's something they do quite a lot of, is speak at churches and talk about the importance of really prioritizing the urgency of taking the gospel to people who are dying every day without ever hearing the gospel in the first place. There are trips coming up. We have trips coming twice a year. There are trips coming up this spring. And when I say spring, I'm being a little loose. I mean, the earliest is, I think, as early as late February. And so we have in South Sudan, in Egypt, in Ethiopia, where people can go and see part of what God is doing, offer, if they have expertise to offer, like dentistry, great, but don't feel that they have to, that even just their presence, because our church planters on the ground that we work with, they have plenty of expertise themselves in planting churches in these very difficult places where nobody has gone before to do that work. And we welcome hearing from any of you. We'd love to hear from you at www.petrosnetwork.org.
Is this more for adults or with college students, or what kind of programs might be available for these trips?
Absolutely. We have had people that are teenagers that have gone on the trips. I mean, I think my kids are in lower elementary school. I think I would personally wait till they're a little older before taking them and dealing with the daddy, I'm hungry, daddy, can we go home now? Daddy, can I play on your iPad kind of thing? But yeah, it's not going to work in places without good internet connectivity. But I think we have had great success with people that have taken their kids who are more college students or high school students who have gone along and really been encouraged and excited. And it can be very life-changing for people. And it can have a whole different perspective of seeing how Christianity is lived out in some much more chaotic, difficult contexts where they don't have nearly as many privileges or resources as we have here in the States.
In a number of different countries that you're involved in, where would you recommend someone start? If someone was to go on one of these trips, which country might be the best to start with?
Ooh, I'm not sure if I would. Well, I don't want to get in trouble with my in-country staff and say, oh, you say where he's your favorite and I'm not. I think any of the countries, I think sometimes people, if they have a particular love of Ethiopian food, which I actually do, I love the injera bread. I've loved going to Ethiopian restaurants. So personally, for that somewhat shallow reason, I would.
Well, I'm a big fan of Ethiopian coffee. It's got a very good fruity flavor. So
okay, well,
that's the Northwestern part of me.
Yeah, there you go. There's coffee shop in every corner there. But I'm not as familiar with South Sudanese food, so I can't there. But I would say I would encourage people to keep an open mind, to look at more what works for their schedule. I mean, if they have some kind of preference like that, if they have some personal ties, or if they have, you know, their college roommate was from South Sudan, and so they're interested, they can let those kind of factors enter in. But see where God has doors open for you. And if there's something that doesn't work out for your schedule, but in Ethiopia, but maybe something in Uganda does, maybe that's God's nudging you that that's where he'd like you to go.
I always like to close out with inspiration for the future. Let's leave people with some great hope, being able to spread the word of God. John, tell me about the future of Petros Network.
Well, we've seen God do incredible things. There's definitely great need when, by different estimates, 42% of the world's population are in ethnic groups that have minimal to no access to the gospel, where, according to a study from Gordon Conwell Seminary, only 18.6% of the world's non-Christian even know a single other Christian, and where unreached people groups, by a lot of measures, has been a low priority in mission funding in North America. So that's the urgency. That's what some would even call a crisis. But the good news is that we have seen that God is working powerfully when people come together, when North American partners come together with Petros Network and our indigenous partners in these countries. We are seeing great fruit. We are seeing so many come to Christ, people be baptized, new churches being planted, and it's spreading in a ripple effect that just snowballs and keeps going from village to village. And we'd love to invite more people to be a part of that. And we're excitedly looking at potential new opportunities where God might be calling us into additional countries that we have invitations into.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.